Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Off and rolling on a Tuesday, June 10, 2025. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That's Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning 929. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. Nothing much. Hanging in there. Tried to watch some sports last night. Not very fun. Not very fun.
Not a lot going on.
Yeah, well, college baseball was great. I mean, got to see some interesting upsets and things like that. So that's awesome, I guess, if you're a college baseball fan. I've never been a big college baseball guy myself, but I did try to watch the Stanley Cup last night.
Yikes.
Yeah, I hyped it up, you know, in the rewind
last
night.
What an ass-kicking.
Where I said we've had 3 overtime periods in 2 games, 6-1.
Yeah.
6-1 in Florida. The Oilers were not ready. They were not prepared for what the Florida Panthers brought to them last night. I think that much is very clear, but 6-1 was that final score. But we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly, and plenty to get to. Mandatory minicamps have opened up in the NFL, and Aaron Rodgers is on hand in Pittsburgh. Now, we do have some notable holdouts that we will talk about. I want to get at 5:30 to the Around the NFL. We're gonna do a holdout edition of the Around the NFL segment, so that'll be a fun one. On top of that, I have some NBA news. On the Mind the Game podcast, we know that that's LeBron and Steve Nash's baby. Before that, it was J.J. Redick, but Steve Nash took the J.J. Redick role. But it's been hot. They've been talking about a lot of different things. And something that came up in their most recent episode was LeBron responding to criticism about whether he has a quote-unquote bag or not. Now, I've heard this discussion thrown out there over the years. I think most notably, Connor, correct me if I'm wrong, it's been about Giannis. People say he doesn't have a bag.
I would say so.
But I wanna get to that. LeBron responded to the criticism, and I think he's fair in what he had to say. As far as guests are concerned, we're gonna have Jeff Calkins on the show at 5 o'clock and Christian Fowler at 6 o'clock. Per normal, Blitz will be at 6:30. I want to get to a little bit of Shedeur Sanders news. Let me ask you this before we even get to that. Shedeur Sanders going to start a game for the Cleveland Browns this year?
I think he will.
If we put odds on yes or no, would yes be in the minus?
No.
So you think it'd still be like plus? Would it be short plus or would it be long? Would it be plus 200 or are we talking plus 1,500?
I'm thinking like 500.
Plus 5? Okay.
Because I still think you have two guys in front of him.
If I was creating odds, I think I'd have him in that like plus 150 area.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's that short. But I'll mention what I mean by that by the time we get to the Blitz.
Okay.
So that'll be good. We also have some NBA trade news. Brian Windhorst made clearer, I should say, the Giannis situation and where the Knicks are at and the teams that could be suited for him. And really, the fact that the Bucks have not really opened up the phone lines yet, and Giannis has not requested a trade formally. So there is that. Now, with mandatory minicamps getting going today, I was paying attention very closely to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, first day mandatory minicamp with Pittsburgh Steelers. His center, who was a rookie last year, Zach Frazier, said he's all in. He's ready to get to work. That was the main message he gave to the team. He's all and ready to go from now on. That's what Zach Frazier had to say about Aaron Rodgers. So, Pittsburgh Steelers and his teammates, they think that he is all in. Now, I have let this marinate since the news dropped last Friday that he was going to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I've got to tell you, I'm officially on board. And what I mean by I'm on board with Aaron Rodgers as a Steeler is I don't see any overwhelming negatives that should keep me away from thinking Aaron Rodgers shouldn't be a Pittsburgh Steeler. It's not that I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan, Connor. Like, I think my listeners know my thoughts on Aaron Rodgers. He's too much. Between ayahuasca, conspiracy theories, Joe Rogan, Pat McAfee on Tuesday, he's a lot. He bothers me. Don't agree with his politics all the time. He can become a distraction. He's very opinionated. Don't like the guy, but that's not what I'm talking about here. And when it comes to the Steelers and their planning, I agree with the criticisms from Steelers fans and from NFL fans. They've had bad planning, 100%. This is going to be their fifth quarterback in 5 years. They've waited too long to reset. I think I mostly can agree with that. I'll elaborate on that more in a bit. They've operated unseriously at that position. Yes, five quarterbacks in 5 years would tell you that they've operated unseriously at the most important position on the football field, the quarterback position. However, I think that when we talk about Aaron Rodgers, he's a symptom of this planning problem that they have and not the problem itself. Now, getting into the worries that I've heard about Aaron Rodgers in a Steelers uniform. The first one, which I don't necessarily jive with, I guess there's certain parts of his game where you could say this, but the biggest, most prominent one is he's not good anymore. I don't think you're telling the whole truth if that's what you're saying. Yes, the Jets, with Aaron Rodgers starting every game, went 5-12. And yes, he had some bad stretches of football. And yes, he couldn't escape the pocket anymore because of the Achilles injury. And yes, his completion percentage was down. All those things are true. But when you look at the entirety of his season last year, there was some good ball played. Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams, once they had the Alan Lazard, once he had all those guys sort of humming, they beat the Texans 1 week. He threw for 3,800 yards, 28 touchdowns, only 11 interceptions. And those 11 interceptions, a majority of them came in a three-week stretch of some of the worst ball he played. The rest of it, pretty decent football, if not good football some weeks. He had 7 weeks of the season where he threw for over 250 yards at 40 years of age. It's not like he's horrible. You still saw some greatness from Aaron Rodgers. It's not the MVP Aaron Rodgers, but it's definitely better than the average quarterback in the National Football League. I can tell you that much. The next thing you'll hear is, well, he's a locker room problem. And, okay, I understand that. The Steelers have dealt with locker room problems in the past. That's one thing that I would say to nullify that issue. It's been Martavis Bryant, Antonio Brown, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens. What I will say, to talk out of both sides of my mouth for a second, yeah, it's not at the quarterback position. That's what you would say back to me. The most important position on the field needs to be locked in. He can't be an overwhelming distraction for the rest of the roster, or it could trickle down. Those wide receivers, they can sort of act on their own. They've been divas in the past. You don't want a diva at the quarterback position. I can get that. But also, if it is, you know what I mean? If it is a problem, does it matter? The contract gets them out in the air anyway. It's not like it's some overwhelming risk that will put the Steelers in a bad position for years to come. It's a one-year deal, and then he's off the books. And here's where the complaints start to get more real, but I want to explain my reasoning, why I don't really buy in or jive with these things. The other thing you'll hear, Mike Tomlin's already on thin ice. Yeah, but that seems more like a reason to take this chance, doesn't it? If Mike Tomlin, after 18 years, doesn't have a guy at the quarterback position and he wants to keep his job, I don't think letting Mason Rudolph or Will Howard start 17 games is the way to go, is it? If Mike Tomlin is at risk of losing his job, winning four games isn't going to have him keep it. At least this way with Aaron Rodgers, maybe he can win 10 games. Maybe he can make the playoffs. Potentially win a playoff game and he can save his job. Build more good faith. Haven't won a game, a playoff game since 2017. And here is the thing. If this fails and Mike Tomlin's out and done with the Steelers after 19 years, first of all, tip the cap. Great run. But then ask yourself this. If Mike Tomlin is out and this fails because Aaron Rodgers was bad in 2025, is it that or is it the fact that he hasn't won a playoff game since 2017? I think that would be the bigger issue. Aaron Rodgers, again, would not be the ultimate reason Mike Tomlin is out of a job in Pittsburgh. The reason Mike Tomlin would be out of a job in Pittsburgh is because he hasn't revolutionized the offense. He has not gotten with Omar Khan in that front office and planned well enough. The offense is stuck in the 20th century. Like, those, it hadn't won a playoff game since 2017. Those are the reasons he would get fired, not because Aaron Rodgers failed in 2025. And then, this is the most real criticism or complaint or worry that I hear. And I jive with this more than anything I've said previously in this conversation. Well, this team's stuck in no man's land. It's a bad roster. They have no real championship hopes. What I'd say to that is that would be an issue regardless. Mason Rudolph would have been the starter going into this year if it wasn't Aaron Rodgers. Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges in 2019 split time at quarterback, and the Steelers went 8-8, missed the playoffs. So that was going to be a problem anyway. And let's not fool ourselves about the Pittsburgh Steelers in general, right? This is not an organization that's used to losing. And with that, when was the last time you saw them tank? I will wait. Never. They haven't tanked in eons. Probably since I've been watching football. I've never seen the Steelers tank for a draft pick. That's never been on the table. So that hard reset you're talking about, it just doesn't compute. Doesn't make sense. That was never an option for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if they did tank for a draft pick, do you genuinely think, in your heart of hearts, do you genuinely think that they would hit on that pick and develop that pick? Since Mike Tomlin took over the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2007, here are the quarterbacks that have been drafted. Dennis Dixon, Landry Jones, Josh Dobbs, Mason Rudolph, and the lone first-round pick, number 23rd overall, Kenny Pickett, who's now with the Browns in that unbelievable quarterback room. So knowing that track record, do you really buy that they're going to be a team that's going to blow it up and go get a first overall pick and attach their plans to that guy going forward? No, absolutely not. And there's a big misnomer. There's a big, huge misnomer, in my opinion, when it comes to a reset in the National Football League and getting yourself to that Super Bowl area, that Super Bowl contending spot. And I'll ask it this way. Is it more likely to find success in the National Football League by treading water, being average like the Pittsburgh Steelers, average to good sometimes? They can get 10 wins, they can be in the playoffs. Or, and then getting lucky with a pick. Right? That's what that would look like if they were going to get over top with a quarterback for the future. Or is it more likely to have success by tearing it all down on purpose, tanking, trading away all your good assets for draft assets to become successful? Which one's more likely? Because I don't think there is an answer to that. Like, ask the Panthers. Ask the Jags. Ask the Dolphins. Ask the Colts how it looked to tear it all down and take that highly paid or highly touted college prospect and bank your hopes on that guy. Ask them how that worked out. Now, there are some good examples of that as well. I'm going to tell the whole story here. Jaden Daniels worked out. CJ Stroud worked out. Like, those guys worked out. I understand all that. But I also have other examples of teams that were solid to above average that made that quarterback switch, which I think the Steelers are in that sort of solid to above average category right now, maybe average, where they traded up for a pick, found a quarterback, and then they took off, right? Look at the Bills with Josh Allen. A couple years before Josh Allen took over, Tyrod Taylor made the playoffs with the Bills. With Patrick Mahomes, they traded up to get him at number 10, traded with the Bills, of course, and Bills fans hate all that. I understand it because they can't get over the Chiefs now. But they traded up to take Patrick Mahomes. Alex Smith had them winning 10 to 11 games a year. Not like they were bad. They were making the playoffs. You know, so like there's no real way or preferred direction in the National Football League historically that guarantees you success when you reset. You have to decide that for yourself. So for all these reasons that I just listed, I have talked myself into this Aaron Rodgers signing by the Pittsburgh Steelers being relatively beneficial and something that I can't really go after. It makes sense. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. And I do think there is a chance that if Aaron Rodgers plays similarly to last year with the roster that the Steelers have and the leadership that the Steelers have, they could be a playoff team and maybe win their first playoff game since 2017. I don't see any overwhelming negatives to what has transpired in the past week with Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers.
If the goal is to make the playoffs for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think that adding Aaron Rodgers to your roster, which is already a playoff roster, or at least a borderline playoff roster.
Not great.
At least.
Don't get it twisted.
It's not great, but it's still one that has a few weapons. They've got good running backs. They've got decent wide receivers. You've got DK Metcalf. You got good defense. If Aaron Rodgers can just give you anything like he gave the Jets last season, you should be able to make it to the playoffs, and that's the goal here. They just don't feel like a team that's in a position to go ahead and blow it up right now. So you might as well take another shot at it with one of the most talented quarterbacks we have ever seen, a Hall of Fame quarterback. You might as well give it a shot and see what happens this season. I don't understand why you wouldn't. When Aaron Rodgers, when we knew he was going to be a free agent, when we knew he wasn't going back to the Jets, the number one spot that everybody said that he should go to was the Pittsburgh Steelers for this very reason. Does he come with distractions? Absolutely. That's one of the reasons we were saying it's either the Steelers or retirement, because no other team makes sense. But the Steelers were prime, and all they needed was a quarterback. That's all they needed. So it made all the sense in the world for him to go there. And to be honest, I'm really interested to see what it's going to look like. And selfishly, when I root for somebody like Calvin Austin, a Memphis Tiger, having Aaron Rodgers right there for him is going to be very good for his career.
Right. And again, I want to go back to that question I asked, because I think this is something we have to ask ourselves as a NFL football watching society. Because we've seen examples, and there's no real correlation between what works and what doesn't when you're resetting an organization. Is it better to just tread water, get lucky with a quarterback, and then do it that way? Or is it better to blow it all up and go get that highly touted college quarterback and hinge your hopes on him? I mean, I can tell you numerous examples of both working and not working. And the thought that, well, this team's in no man's land, they need to do a hard reset, what does that look like? If you want them to get back to a Super Bowl, what does that ultimately look like? Did you want them to go into the season with Mason Rudolph and win four games? That wasn't going to happen even with Mason Rudolph. They'd probably win six or seven games and be right there outside of the top 10 in the NFL draft next year. And if you want them to get a quarterback of the future, Let's say this doesn't go well and they win 8 games. They have the first losing season in Mike Tomlin's tenure. They'll be sitting at 16th. And you know what they could do? They could, if they really like a quarterback and they think they can go develop that guy, they can trade up and go find a guy. I didn't think this year, you know, contrary to what people were believing or they're saying about, you know, the Steelers and their interest in a quarterback, I didn't think this year was the year to go get that first-round quarterback, whether it was Jackson Dart or, you know, Jalen Milroe was tied to them for a while, or Shedeur Sanders. I didn't think this year was the year to do that. Next year could very well be the year to do that. If Arch Manning's coming out and guys like that, like, there is better options, in my opinion, next season. So if they wanted to use whatever first-round pick they have, if this flails around, and trade up, package some things to go get a pick and develop a quarterback for the long haul, they can do that next year. But I look at a lot of these criticisms, and I feel like I can pick my way through them using logic every step of the way. And I think the main thing, Connor, and I know this is more just organizational and just how the Steelers operate. I don't think anybody should have ever gotten their mind that the Steelers were going to go into the season with Will Howard or Mason Rudolph and completely tank. They don't do that. That's not an they are not an organization that has ever advocated for that or wanted that. They don't tank for high draft picks because they're always good enough. They're a well-run organization. So I wouldn't say I've done a 180. But I have talked myself directly into this probably being the best plan of action for the Steelers, but of course time will tell.
Yeah, it's again, Aaron Rodgers still comes with distractions, but we've never questioned his on-field play. And I think that the Steelers organization is one that is solid enough, and Mike Tomlin is a head coach that is solid enough to where those distractions that may come with Aaron Rodgers probably aren't going to be that big of a deal within that locker room. So I think it makes all the sense in the world for him to go to the Steelers. To be quite honest, I'm a little excited to see it. I think that it could make them a very good team, or it could completely fall apart. It's going to be fascinating to watch. There were signs last year that showed that he may be losing it a little bit. And one thing that I do want to ask you is, what are the differences between what the Jets were running last season and what the Steelers are going to be running this season? Because a lot of Aaron Rodgers' stats were propped up on a lot of screens, short yardage passes. They weren't going deep with the ball as much anymore. Are the Steelers going to be able to replicate what the Jets were able to do last season with Aaron Rodgers?
It's going to be different. It's going to be different in the sense that last year you had wide receivers for the New York Jets that are they're good route runners, not necessarily deep ball catchers, and they're going to exploit the short and intermediate game on a consistent basis. When you look at this Steelers wide receiver core, you have DK Metcalf, one of the best deep threats in the game. You have Calvin Austin, a burner who has the potential to be one of the best deep threats on that team. Like, you're going to see a little bit more of an uncorking of the football, like you did last year with Russell Wilson, right? That's going to be the biggest difference. A lot of these concepts are going to be play-action based, and they're going to take more shots, as opposed to Aaron Rodgers last year sitting back in the pocket and picking apart the intermediate part of the field. But, you know, I think when you look at the differences between the two sets of circumstances he had, I would probably argue that he had a better offensive line last year, and I've mentioned that that's my main concern. Can that Steelers offensive line that's been trying to rebuild for years be good enough to keep Aaron Rodgers, who can't move very well, upright on a consistent basis? So that's a concern to me. But I think the differences are going to be they're going to exploit the run game. They're going to put him in a lot more play action scenarios, and they're going to exploit the deeper part of the field. And I think he still has the tools to be able to handle that. And can I just be honest personally? OC this year, Arthur Smith versus OC last year, Nathaniel Hackett, who do you trust more? I trust Arthur Smith more.
I would say so.
I don't think I'm going out on a limb and saying that. Arthur Smith has had some good offenses, and let's be honest, he's had a decent track record with sort of turning around the journeyman quarterback that he gets his hands on, Look at Ryan Tannehill with Tennessee. So, you know, I think that compared to last year, I would imagine Arthur Smith gives Aaron Rodgers a little bit more hold of the offense to let Aaron Rodgers do what he sees fit, because he is a former MVP and one of the best we've ever seen at the quarterback position. But I don't expect that offense to deviate too much from the norm that they set last year with Russell Wilson. So we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. All right. Now, we did have the Mind Your Game, or Mind the Game. I always say that. Mind the Game podcast with LeBron James and Steve Nash, their most recent episode. It featured a conversation about bag and if LeBron James has a bag. But LeBron James responded to criticism on the Mind the Game podcast, and I want to get to that next, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. The Mind the Game podcast has been very active in the offseason. They just had their most recent episode with Luka Doncic alongside LeBron James and Steve Nash. I don't know, real quick, I don't know why they keep taking shots at Brian Windhorst with how Brian Windhorst has covered LeBron's career, but that would be a criticism I have for LeBron James. But the criticism that he responded to on their most recent episode, I do not have this criticism. A lot of people in the past, and I shouldn't say a lot of people, some people in the past have talked about LeBron, and they say he has quote-unquote no bag. For those that don't know what a bag is, I'll explain that in a second, but this is what he had to say about those allegations on the Mind the Game pod. All right, now, for those that don't know what a bag is, it means you have good dribble moves, and you can score from anywhere, and you can score at all three levels, and you have so many different things that you can rely on from a skill standpoint as a basketball player. And I'm here to tell you, I've been watching this all week. A lot of shows have referenced this conversation, and they've had real conversations in front of a nationally televised audience, Connor, where they're debating if LeBron has a bag or doesn't have a bag when he has 50,000 points in the NBA. He's the leading scorer in NBA history. And to me, it's like, I see people arguing he has no bag. And I'm like, are you stupid? You're telling your nationally televised audience that LeBron James does not have a bag. What? Where do you get that from? For those that are not familiar, a bag, again, refers to the skill you have on a basketball floor. And I'm here to tell you, instead of deciding if LeBron has a bag or doesn't, I'm here to tell you it's one of the most meaningless conversations that we have in the NBA when it comes to discourse today. Bag versus no bag. It's absolutely insane. Now, I've heard it as a criticism for LeBron. Like, I've heard it, usually from very stupid, unserious people. But more notably, you know who I've heard this about very consistently is Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, the two-time former MVP, the guy who scored 50 and had 14 rebounds in a closeout of the Suns in the 2021 NBA Finals, the guy who averages 30 points per game and 12 rebounds no matter what season it is for the last seven. I mean, that guy, that's the guy that always comes into question when we talk about bag versus no bag, and I find that absolutely egregious. And correct me if I'm wrong, Connor, this seems like a conversation that's almost exclusively had in NBA discourse. And I'll give you an example of why I think that's the case and what I've noticed. Because in the NFL, do they really have something like this? Well, oh, this guy doesn't have a bag? Because, like, what would we say about Tom Brady, who won six Super Bowls? Like, what would we say about Tom Brady and his bag as a quarterback? He didn't have, like, multiple arm angles. He checked it down to the running back half the time. That's how he won six Super Bowls. I mean, he was a guy who didn't have some unbelievable deep ball. He wasn't a guy who, yeah, he was accurate. He wasn't the most accurate quarterback in the league. He just processed the game better. And I think you could give that to Giannis and LeBron as well if you're saying they don't have a bag. But, like, it seems like this is a conversation that's almost exclusively had in the NBA. And to me, the bag versus no bag conversation gets worse when you think about who has been applauded for their bag across all sports, or across, I guess, all sports. I'll go to all sports, but mostly the NBA. You have Kyrie and KD, right? Like, those guys, everybody knows they have a deep offensive bag, sure. But you know who else has gotten applauded for their bag? Brandon Jennings, lifetime career 8-point scorer in the playoffs. Michael Beasley, who I love Michael Beasley, still one of my, probably the best player I've ever seen play the college basketball game in my lifetime. I'm not talking about anybody else's lifetime. That's my opinion. Kendrick Nunn. Kendrick Nunn's gotten, oh, that guy has a bag. He's not in the NBA anymore. This is my favorite one. Jordan Clarkson. Jordan Clarkson has gotten applauded for the bag that he possesses. One of the best shot takers in the game, though. And, you know, I respect shot takers. But also, like, in the NFL, you know who probably we would say had a bag? Jamarcus Russell. He could throw the ball 80 yards off of his knees. Johnny Manziel. He probably had a heck of a bag coming out of Texas A&M. Look at all the plays he made. Anthony Richardson. Multiple arm angles. Zach Wilson, probably. I mean, look at his pro day. We would have talked about him having a bag. But, like, when we do this thing where you criticize the greatest players in the game for not having a bag and lift up role players for having a bag, it's like giving credit to Bernie Madoff for having a deep bag as a money manager. That's what it feels like to me. He does so many things well as a money manager. He's a great talker. He's a great salesman, a great raiser of funds. And there's just something about his disposition. I just trust the guy. Well, sure, he also died in prison because of those qualities. Maybe it's just me, Connor. I bet you fit this as well, but I like facts. I don't do well with feelings all the time. And bag versus no bag talk is just that. It's feelings. It's vibes. All that stuff is useless to me. You ignore so many important facets of the game to highlight that some guy has a sick dribble package. I don't give a damn. Can he play basketball? Can he put the ball in the hoop? What does he look like in the playoffs? Has he won championships? Did he win the MVP? How does he play on the defensive side of the ball? I am much more interested in the whole package than talking about bag versus no bag. Can you play? I'm much more interested in that. Simply put,
I think the idea that LeBron or any all-time greats don't have bags is quite ridiculous. It's I think that people focus far too much on dribble moves and trying to get around a defender without actually acknowledging scoring the basketball. Yeah. The goal of the game is to score. And LeBron, Giannis, Shaq, Kareem, Wilt, all these guys were physically dominant players. Physically dominant. But to sit here and pretend like they didn't have moves, post-move.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It was unbelievable footwork. What are we doing?
Do
what
I care
are we
if Wilt? Do I care if Wilt had a bag? No, he averaged 50 and 26 for 2 years of his career.
Yeah.
I don't care.
It's sometimes really players don't. Who are so physically dominant, people focus on that. And they don't think about how they actually get to the basket. Sometimes they push through people, but if you watch Giannis and you watch LeBron, and you especially early, like let's be clear about this. Early LeBron, when he first got into the league, you're trying to tell me that guy didn't have a bag? What are you talking about? What are you on? What
it's
drugs
silly.
Are you on?
It's silly.
Go watch the clips. I can tell somebody's age by when they're telling
Correct.
Me LeBron doesn't have a bag.
Correct.
Because you weren't alive to watch him.
Well, and either way, nowadays, he averages 24-7-7 at 40-plus years of age.
It's
he has a
these.
Bag. And, like, are you more interested in watching someone have sick dribble moves and go get to the basket and have that one, you know, two-point or three-point bucket that gets posted on House of Highlights? Tell me who won the game. Tell me how many points that person had in that game. What was their shooting percentage? Tell me those things. That's how I judge a basketball player. I don't judge a basketball player on their dribble package or how can they find their spot in the mid-range and find whatever pull-up they want. What's their fadeaway look like? I don't care.
LeBron,
if you're like Giannis Antetokounmpo and you can take the ball to the rim at will and no one can stop you, that's more impressive to me than watching someone, I don't know, put someone in a blender and step back for three. I don't really care and miss it. I don't care. What are your stats? How do you affect winning? What have you done? What are your accolades? I care about that. I am so uninterested in that conversation. And it's amazing to me that people are interested in it. And I've watched multiple national television shows go up in front of their nationally televised audience and talk about this. And there's some people claiming LeBron James doesn't have a bag.
It's silly. It's silly. It would be like us sitting here being like, well, MJ didn't have a bag. What are we talking about? We all have clips. Listen, MJ's bag, what defines a bag? Because LeBron, we know, is the greatest scorer in NBA history. A lot of people have argued that he might be the best passer we've ever seen in NBA history. So you're telling me a pass package isn't a bag? Some of the passes he throws
too?
Are absolutely insane. I guess there could
Is
be a defensive
bag. Is defense part of your bag?
Listen, if you want to talk to me about like Giannis not having a ton of skill, fine. But like when you bring up LeBron, I think that it's an absolutely asinine conversation to have. He's at minimum the second best player of all time, and in a lot of people's eyes, he's the greatest of all time. And then when we go back and we look at Jordan. Jordan was doing things that people hadn't really seen before, but it's not like he had this deep, unbelievable bag and was dribbling around people like he was Kyrie Irving. There is a real clip early in Jordan's career where he dribbled behind his back and the announcers acted like he was an alien.
Right.
What did he just do? Did he just go behind the back? No, it's ridiculous that we do this. Some players need dribble packages to get around guys. Some players are so physically dominant they can go through you. And then some players are able to do both. LeBron is somebody that is able to do both. Jordan was able
and
to
Giannis.
Do both. Giannis is able to do both.
And
it's just, you know, and I also think that like a lot of the players that you listed off as having bags are guards.
Yes. Yes.
We're talking
Smaller.
About dribbling.
Yes.
That's what people are talking about. They're ignoring actually putting the ball in the basket.
Yes. And you brought up if you want to argue if Giannis has skill or not, we can do. No, I'm not doing that with you. You do not fall into 30-12 for 7 straight years and 2 MVPs by not having skill in the National Basketball Association. In today's day and age as well, with the best talent we've seen in the history of the sport, you don't just back up into that because you're 6'11". There's a lot of guys who are 6'11" who have never dreamed of touching the level of skill or production that Giannis Antetokounmpo has in his career. silly. But, you know, I did mention it's one of the dumbest conversations we have in NBA discourse. While we're here, I do want to bring up another one. And this one's going to hit home for a lot of people. Superstar versus star. We've seen it with Tyrese Halliburton for the entire playoffs, or namely the last month. People are having legitimate arguments about this. First Take talks about it every day. I'm here to tell you it's stupid. It's subjective. Just like bag versus no bag is. It's so uninteresting to me. I get that some people, you know, like get interested by this. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it with you. Just not. In my opinion, it's all semantics what you think a superstar is, right? If you think a superstar is the top five players in the NBA and it's all about production, sure. Personally, I view superstar in the same way I view a worldwide superstar that may be an artist, that may be a, you know, could be a player in sports, could be anything. If you're going and seeing this person's name every single day and you can't avoid the topic of this person and they're just that much in the public eye because of their persona and what they put out on a daily basis, that's a super, that qualifies as a superstar to me. Gary Parrish over at Grind City Media, formerly over here at 92.9, he put it very well. You cannot even barely follow sports right now and not know who Tyrese Halliburton is. To me, that fits the criteria for a superstar.
Go ask New Yorkers if they know who Tyrese Halliburton is.
I don't need to hear about his single-digit point scoring. I don't need to hear about that. It's all semantics. It's subjective, and it's dumb. I don't get it. I don't understand the idea behind the conversation.
I think what is so annoying to me about the conversations that are had about the NBA is they're always reductive. They're always comparing one guy to another and tearing one guy down to build up another. To your point, we don't really do this in any other sport. For some reason, we do it in basketball more than any other sport. LeBron's bag may not be the same as Kyrie's or Steph's or name a player, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have one. Giannis's bag might be different from LeBron's. That doesn't mean he doesn't have skill. I don't understand why we can't just recognize that certain players, depending on their body type and their tendencies, play differently. But if the goal is to win basketball games,
put the ball in the hoop,
and you come to me and tell me that LeBron and Giannis don't have a bag, I'm going to tell you that you're stupid.
Yes.
And you don't actually watch the games. And I cannot get this point through enough. So many people that are talking about this don't watch the games. They do not watch the games.
Yes.
They box score watch. They only see the highlights. They aren't actually watching these basketball games. And it drives me absolutely insane. It's the same thing when we're talking about superstars. It's the same damn thing. Well, he only had this in his box score for points, so he's not a superstar. Really? Go ask all of New York City if they know who Tyrese Halliburton is right now. Go ask all of Cleveland if they know who Tyrese Halliburton is right now. Go ask all of Milwaukee if they know who Tyrese Halliburton is right now. You know what they're going to do? They're going to drop to their knees and start praying because you brought up the devil's name in front of them.
Yes.
Tyrese Halliburton is the boogeyman to those cities right now. One of the most famous city in the world, Tyrese Halliburton is their boogeyman. He is absolutely a superstar. Just because he doesn't score a ton of points, that's not the criteria. I think that the example that you brought up last week was fantastic with Steve Nash. Steve Nash wasn't putting up a ton of points, but he was moving that basketball. He was playing with pace.
MVP season, he scored 19 a game, just like Tyrese Halliburton did this year.
Tyrese Halliburton, if you want to look at me and say, well, there are tiers to it, yep.
Yeah.
Tyrese Halliburton's in the bottom tier of superstar. Yeah, probably.
Okay,
so.
That's fine.
We went over the rankings last week. He should be number 7, but he's absolutely in the superstar realm. If you want to tell me he's the bottom rung of NBA superstars, fine. But it still qualifies as a superstar to me. It's just these conversations that we have about the NBA, I think, are so silly because we're not appreciating players when they're right in front of us. For some reason, NBA, the tweet about that Kevin Durant had about NBA fans don't actually like the NBA is the
feels
that might
true
be
times
the best tweet that anyone's
feels
ever
true
sent out about the NBA, because it's so true. And for some damn reason, we can't appreciate a guy until he's retired, and all of a sudden we're nostalgic about it, and we're like, man, remember how good this player was? We are still having conversations with the youths about if Tim Duncan was good.
They have no idea.
They have no idea how good Tim Duncan was. You have no idea how good and how much of a bag first stint LeBron Cleveland was.
No idea.
Are y'all insane? That man scored 27 straight on one of the greatest defenses we've ever seen, and you're trying to look me in the face and tell me he doesn't have a bag? You've got a bag of drugs.
Yes.
Absolutely asinine conversations. It drives me insane. Why can't we just talk about these guys and appreciate their greatness when it's right in front of us? Because I'm telling y'all, we're going to miss him when he's gone.
Yeah,
all these damn shows
correct
are going to miss him when he's gone. Skip Bayless is going to be begging for money outside of a Walmart when LeBron James is done with his career. God!
Oh, all right, game three of the NBA Finals is coming up tomorrow night. It'll be at 7:30 p.m. in Indianapolis. Connor, how are we feeling going into game three? It's looking like the Thunder are 5.5-point favorites, so obviously the shift in the line tells you that Vegas likes the Pacers at home. They've been good at home. We understand all of that. And they've also been very good in game threes. They're undefeated. They're not undefeated. They've lost one so far through these playoffs. How do we feel about the Pacers' chances to take the lead tomorrow night? Just because, and I'll say this, I feel like with what we saw in game two, we're sort of in a little bit of a must-win category for the Pacers. Obviously, they stole one on the road, but game two showed us some adjustments from Mark Daigneault with the two big lineup that I think will really help that team going forward and throughout this series.
If you're the Pacers, I think the goal is to split this with the Thunder. I'm not sure they would be able to win both games, but if you can split the games in Indiana with the Thunder, that would be a huge win for them. Now, we do know that the cliche about role players in the NBA
yep
playoffs is they always play better at home. And that has certainly been true for the Indiana Pacers. The role players are already very good on the road, so they're hoping that they get that home bump from them. Now, that being said, it really felt like the Thunder figured something out in that
yep
game two against the Pacers. And if we're being completely honest, they controlled game one through three
yes
quarters and then let things get away from them in the fourth quarter, and the Pacers were able to come back.
And again,
back and
I
beat
thought
them.
Mark Daigneault got too cute.
Right. He got too cute. He went back to the basics a little bit more. To be quite honest, I wouldn't be surprised if he still runs with Cason Wallace in that starting lineup. There must be a defensive aspect that he likes with that. And I wonder if making Hartenstein and Caruso come in off the bench, if he's trying to neutralize the Pacers bench to some degree, and it did work in game two.
Well, you could stagger minutes even if
that's,
you wanted
I
to.
I mean, that's what he did.
I came up with two theories about why Cason Wallace is getting the starts. One, you want to be more switchable, and you want to make sure that you have somebody in Tyrese Halliburton's grill at all times.
Right.
And you want to have a really good perimeter defender.
And then bring a demon off of the bench.
So that's one thought. You want to be as switchable as possible. You want to have one big so they can't take advantage of whatever big's on the floor. If you have two, it becomes a little more tough. You have more slow-footed guys out there. But the other theory is, does Mark Daigneault not trust Chet Holmgren on a consistent basis against Pascal Siakam? I thought that may be part of it as well. Throwing Jalen Williams on him instead and sort of having him as the pseudo four is the idea of what he's done in the first two games to start the game against Pascal Siakam.
Maybe.
But with that, I would throw back at him. I think Chet Holmgren's movable enough, and I think that he can recover well enough to still bother Pascal Siakam. As much as Chet Holmgren gets crap for being thin, being other teams are able to push him around a little bit, I do think he is a very good defensive player, and I don't know if he gets his flowers enough for that.
I'm going to change. I think it has more to do with he doesn't trust Hartenstein on Miles Turner. because Turner pulls Hartenstein out to the perimeter so much.
Okay.
And Hartenstein isn't a very good perimeter defender, and he'll get caught in a lot of switches with Tyrese Halliburton.
You're running into that eventually, though, even when you take Chet out of the game and put Hartenstein
in. But I think that starting, I think that they are so, because we've seen the Pacers, when they've been the most devastating throughout the playoffs, it's when players like Miles Turner get hot in the first quarter, and we've seen him do that in every single series a couple of times. So I think it might be more to do with he wants to have Chet on Miles Turner because Chet's a better perimeter defender than Isaiah Hartenstein. And then you also get, we have a defender in Tyrese Halliburton's grill the entire time. But even if somebody switches, the big would still be able to defend the perimeter and be able to stay in front of Tyrese Halliburton to some degree, where Hartenstein, I think, would struggle with that a little bit more. So I think your theory makes sense. I just think it has more to do with Hartenstein's defense than it does Chet's defense.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. Now, two things, though, that lead me to believe the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to roll from this point on in the series. One has to do with Mark Daigneault turning back to the two big lineup. Game one, they lost the rebounding battle by 17. Game two, they won it by 8. A 25-point swing in rebounding differential is massive. He goes back to that. I think they get the same results. And we saw how that worked out in game two when he finally went back to it. They win 123-107. It wasn't even that close. And then the other part of it, and I mentioned this yesterday, but it's worth repeating. Tyrese Halliburton versus Oklahoma City so far this season is, across the board, a worse player than he is against everybody else. 12.8 points per game, down from 19. 5.8 assists per game, down from 10. 2.2 turnovers per game is up from his normal 1.5. And when you look at the other side, the other superstar on the Thunder side, he just set the record.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
SGA did 4 points in the first two games of his NBA Finals career was 72. That's beating out Kobe, Allen Iverson, Shaq. It's beating out Michael Jordan. It's beating out everybody in the history of the game. I don't think the Pacers have an answer for SGA. They have spot answers. The fourth quarter of game one, Andrew Nembhard did a just admirable job against SGA. But the rest of the games, the rest of the quarters, the rest of the minutes, you haven't seen that. He's had 38 and 34. But with Tyrese Halliburton, when you look at the Thunder defending him, they have every answer. The Pacers have to scheme Tyrese Halliburton into production, while the Pacers also have to scheme SGA out of production. It's a really sort of tough back and forth that I don't know. I don't know that the Pacers can get over it. Don't think they can.
It's going to be fascinating to see what Rick Carlisle decides to do, because we know that he's one of the best basketball minds we've ever seen in the head coaching position in the NBA. So what is his move going to be? Dagnall did his in game two and was able to win that game. So what is Carlisle going to be able to come back and do? How is he going to free up Tyrese Halliburton? Because him not being able to get a shot off quickly is a hindrance to him right now in this series. Because as we've pointed out, every single Thunder defender can defend him one-on-one because they're that good at defense. It's just one of those rare teams where they don't have to double a player like Tyrese Halliburton because every single guy they throw at him can stay in front of him and can defend him well. And I do think that I'm curious if Dagnall also says, okay, maybe we throw a different pitch here and let Tyrese Halliburton kind of do his thing in game three, but we're shutting the water off for everybody else.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.